We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. Wednesday, March 29th, 2017, our new day to record. Put that on your calendars. We'll be doing this Wednesday nights and going live on Thursday morning because we are now Dash contributors as part of the Almighty Baller podcast, radio network. I'm not sure which one still, but go to almightyballer.com and you can find all the entire network. And it'll be rotating on the Dash app, which you should definitely download. We'll be there on Thursday afternoons. I think we're like slotted an hour later than originally, but so yeah, prepared to drive between 2 and 3. Gary, I think last time you suggested between 1 and 2 is when you were going to do all your driving, but now you got to move it over an hour.
Yeah, I'll switch it up. That's fine. I do have two logistics questions.
Okay.
One, do we have to be more, less, or no change in terms of policing our language?
No change. So, you know, try and do it, but that's what we got the moves for, right, guys?
Right. Second thing.
Okay.
We have a moo in our intro music.
Do we?
Yeah. Randy Whitman. Gotta make a commitment to playing defense.
Oh, man. I didn't even think that. Well, you know what? Axeman, if you're listening to this, tell me if you want it out or mooed. But if you don't, I'm just going to leave it there. So, throwing down the gauntlet. Thanks for clarifying, Gary. Dave, how are you?
Good. I'm thrilled to be here today.
You look it. You seem it. all right. Well, we got things to talk about tonight. We're going to have a guest on, too. His name, Kelly Scaletta. He's an assistant editor and writer for FanRag Sports, also a featured columnist for Bleacher Report. We'll have him on to talk NBA, MVP race, thoughts on the Wiz, things of that nature in a little bit. In the meantime, though, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Overcast. Like I just said, Dash, download that application. And at Zardcast on Twitter. You can find hilarious jokes and memes. And our favorite one, we're going to play this a whole bunch tonight. Picking up traction across the internet and apparently on television, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of the NBA TV guys said nobody beats the Wiz right before they threw to the live telecast.
I like it. I've seen it. We tweet it out sometimes after a win. I saw it. I think Bolts Forever did it to much fanfare. So everyone knows what's up. We're trendsetters, I'd say.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that we like invented using it in that sense for the Wizards.
What do you have to say to that?
I could be wrong.
Maybe we didn't make it up, but we've definitely popularized it. So, like I said, we're going to be using that a lot tonight because 4-0 in the last week.
4-0.
Did we do record predictions at the end of the last episode? I don't know if we did record predictions.
The one time.
Yeah, I think that was the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I'm going to pretend. Dave, you always go undefeated. How does it feel to be right this time? Have they ever ripped off all wins between shows before?
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. I mean, it really means a lot less when I do it every time, but I'm still going to bask in it a little bit.
As you should. Wins over the Lakers, the Cavs, the Nets, and the Hawks. Nice upward turn after last week's decrescendo. They were sliding there, and they picked it back up.
So what is it called if you're above a decrescendo, but not... I wouldn't say they're at a crescendo again by any means. So what? No. Where are they now?
I don't know. I'll have to Google some more music terminology.
Are they on the leeward side of a mountain?
That sounds about right.
That's way more mountain terminology than I know.
Yeah, good geographical term there. Oh, we'll figure out the musical term, though. But it's been good times, everyone. late night game last night, accidentally stayed up and watched the whole thing, but that was a win. Which one should we get into? I feel like we'll save the Hawks and the Nets for last, but basically here, let's start with the Lakers game, because they pulled off last night. They come back from 16 down, and they clinched the first Southeast Division title since the 78-79 season, which division titles, generally in basketball, they mean nothing. But when you haven't done it in since the 70s, and apparently, deep dive, I want to say, I don't remember who pulled this up. I saw it on the internet, and I can't take credit for it, but it was the longest division title drought in all of North American sports. So while it's not anything to write home about, I mean, that's crazy, right? Like, everyone wins a division at right. some point, right?
Yeah. NBA divisions are bigger, though. Like, if it was baseball, there's only four teams in most of the divisions. So.
Some of them have five.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I guess, yeah.
I guess in hockey, it's not the big deal, but, like, football, it's a big deal. Baseball, it's a big deal. So, and I mean, I'll take it. It's a reason, it's worth celebrating. I think the 50 games, if they hit that, that'll mean a lot more and feel more momentous, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. But,
well, that good is for now. That's looking a lot more attainable than when we last looked at it, too. This time, or last pod time before, they needed to go 8-4 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Now they just got to go 500 in the last eight. Got to go 4-4 the rest of the way.
I think they can do that. They got three really, really tough ones coming up here at the Clippers, Jazz, and Warriors.
Yeah. Clippers have been really inconsistent lately, even with like basically the whole team healthy and playing. But obviously not an easy opponent on the second leg of a back-to-back.
It looks like they've been out and about in L.A., the Wizards. A little bit last night. We're recording on Wednesday, so what we're gonna do is at the end of the episode we'll talk about the Clippers game post Clippers game. You know,
you said they were out and about in L.A. Mm-hmm. Did you guys both see the incident that they got into? Because I didn't see it. Can you guys explain to me what happened?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Some guy was like waiting outside of a club that a bunch of the Wizards were at, and I think Bradley Beal came out either first or. He didn't come out with Brandon Jennings and John Wall, and this guy dapped him up. But then Brandon Jennings and John Wall came out, and he like started berating them and was like in their like right in their faces. They yelled back like a little bit, but mostly just kind of whisked off into the night and for the better. But yeah, definitely interesting.
What do you think that guy was mad about?
I have no idea. He seemed pretty like unhinged, like no real motive. So.
Well, let's look at it scientifically. What are the facts we know? He likes Brad Beal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like John Wall. He doesn't like Brandon Jennings.
Okay.
What is the factor?
He is a big fan of 3-point shooting. He thinks it's criminal that they haven't learned to incorporate that into their games yet.
That adds up. You got another?
Wall is an off-season LA guy. Brandon Jennings is an LA guy originally.
Is he really?
So maybe he doesn't like that John's a carpetbagger and Brandon Jennings left LA?
Okay. Okay.
That also sounds plausible. So this guy sounds like he was in the right, at least a little bit.
Well, maybe we can get him on the pod.
Okay.
Like crazy guy.
That'll be the next task.
The other TMZ thing, though, out and about, Gortat spotted at the end of his night. Piling into an SUV with three girls.
I didn't see that either. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm glad that the paparazzi's out there and catching this. So we don't have this in DC. They probably have it a little bit in New York, but
yeah,
definitely not out here. So I enjoy it.
I'm sure he treated all three of them like a gentleman.
Of course, he's an upstanding citizen.
If you had, you know. Taking odds on which wizard would be spotted piling into an SUV with three women in LA post game. He might have been the favorite, right?
Yeah. I think Oubre.
Yeah.
Or just John Wall might be up there too. But probably Oubre.
I would guess I'd say Oubre because he's like the young although he's not drinking age, is he?
No.
Sure.
He is. It's barely.
I think it is just barely.
Okay. John's pretty low key. Mm-hmm. And if John's low key, Brad is like totally under the radar.
For sure.
And he's coupled up, Brad.
Oh,
sure.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, John's a young, wild, single thing. But we don't ever see any of his or hear about his conquests, you know? I'd be interested. All right, guys, we can talk about basketball. This game last night against the Lakers, looking shaky in the second quarter. They kind of started falling apart there a little bit. They had a nice lead, let it get away from them, then eventually down three at halftime, I believe. And then things looked even more questionable in the third quarter with the Lakers. I don't know how many shots they hit in a row.
15.
Established a 16-point lead on the Wizards. And it looked like they were dead and buried, and you know, that Southeast Division title would have to wait another night. Gary, you went to sleep.
Yeah, that like large Lakers lead coincided right with when I fell asleep. I was really fighting to stay awake and couldn't do it. And I fell asleep with them like right in the midst of that consecutive shots and them being down. And then I had fallen asleep on my couch, so naturally I just woke up after a little bit, and when I did, it was actually right after the game, John Wall with the celebratory on-court post-game interview. That was a nice sight to wake up to.
How was that interview?
I just stood up and walked to my room. I didn't even listen.
34 points, 14 assists, and he really took the reins there in that fourth quarter to drive it home. The bench, you know, they did their part as well. They got the lead down to four. Came in, starters got put in with about 7 minutes left, and they took it from there. And I read, and I think I'm botching the stat. Gary, we talked about it before we got on here, but I read that they were the third team this season to come back from 16 or more points down in the second half to win.
Yeah, that doesn't seem
I'm gonna try and
right to me. Because they already did it once. Right.
Right.
The Blazers game.
Maybe
down
it was just
by more than that.
Two other teams.
The Kings just did it like
to the Clippers?
Yeah, like a week ago.
In like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. Huh. Never glanced over anything and misreported stuff I've read on Twitter before, so
I mean what? One person's gonna check and then what are they gonna do? Maybe tweet at us about it? We'll just delete all this, we'll say it's true. I don't think it's a big deal.
I'll try and find it here. But either way, huge comeback win. You know, just it's a little piece of the pie. You know, it feels like they're inching towards something greater, and this was a nice way to be like, hey, here's an official way to say this was a good year.
I'm just really glad that would have been such a terrible loss after they finally started getting their momentum back. If you go out and lose to the Lakers, who are really trying to lose, that would have been undone just about everything the Cavs win did, I think.
Yeah, I got the stat from Hoops District.
Oh, it's end up winning by 10 plus points.
10 plus points. Missed that part. Okay. Key part of the statistic. I'm with you, Dave, though. I mean, that was now, I mean, for like a 4-game winning streak, that's huge. Would have been brutal, cuz then they lose last night, they look sluggish. I mean, there's tonight against the Clippers is really hopeless. I still don't know how much hope I have for tonight's game. We'll get into it later, of course, but
fairly hopeful.
Oh yeah, we're gonna beat the Clippers for sure.
They got them once already.
Yeah,
it was here and wasn't second night of back to back, but they did beat them already.
And they're kind of falling apart right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're real up and down. Like they've had some. They're definitely incredibly inconsistent and have lost a bunch of games, but they let then like also still sometimes come out and smash, so hard to read.
All right, well, let's pause our discussion of these games. We'll get back into them. We still got a big game against Cleveland to discuss, among many other things, but first let's talk to our friend Kelly Scaletta from FanRag Sports. Okay, joining us now on the line, Kelly Scaletta. He is an editor at Fan Rag Sports, also a featured columnist at Bleacher Report. You can find him on Twitter at Kelly Scaletta. Kelly, how are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on.
Doing real good. Did we get your last name right? We have a history of not doing that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
You didn't put the R in it. Some people want to put an R in it.
Like, Scarletta?
We would never.
And it's like, do I look like Scarlett O'Hara? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'll put that onus on me. I practiced before we had you on because it's gotten ugly and weird with guests before. So glad I didn't botch that. Let's get into it though, Kelly. Gary, you could take the reins on this, but you guys got into a Twitter back and forth about MVP requirements, you know, as it pertains to, you know, who you would vote for in the end result. It seems as if you guys disagreed. Do you want to share what the disagreement was, Gary?
Yeah, well, I saw one tweet that you had posted kind of about your thinking on the MVP argument, and I responded to it. And then, yeah, we had a back and forth where it was actually really interesting and kind of fun because we weren't even debating players. Like, I didn't even know what player you supported and for the MVP, and I never said who I did. So it was kind of a fun little – it was more like arguing like a thought experiment almost. And then since then, I started following you more on Twitter, and I know you definitely supporting Harden for the MVP. But I guess – since we're arguing, like, I guess the qualifications, what are laid on me? I guess give me the Harden case and or just general MVP, why, what you think determines one.
Yeah, why was Gary wrong on Twitter?
Yeah, that's a great way to go for it.
Well, here's the thing is I think if I remember right, we were discussing what does value mean.
Yeah, basically.
And considering what is the, you know, is it the best player or is it, you know, the most valuable player? Is there a difference between best and valuable? And I did a study on this a couple of years back. I went back and I looked at every year since the media started voting. And there are basically four things that go into determining value. And I always think of it like a good comparison is your house. And you can have the exact same house. Where are you guys at?
D.C.
You're in D.C. All right, so... like if you're in like Georgetown area or something, right? That's pretty high housing value.
For sure.
You know, and I live in Elgin, Texas, which is about 30 miles outside of Austin. And I have a 1/3 acre property that I got for like around $100,000. And so I imagine 1/3 acre is going to go for a bit more money in Georgetown than $100,000, right? So if I took the exact same house that I have here in Elgin, Texas, and I put it in Georgetown, that house is going to have a lot more value in Georgetown than it is in Elgin, Texas. So my point is that there's more to value than the actual quality of the thing. There's other factors that come in. Like in real estate, there's like location, location, location determines value. And I think in the MVP, historically, value has been, one, it has been about the quality of the player. I think it's 24 of the last 30 MVPs have finished first, second, or third in win shares. So certainly being a, you know, if you're not the best player, you're certainly in the conversation for best player. That is one huge factor that goes into it. But another huge factor is there's only been, I think it's three players whose team was not one of the four best in the NBA. And so I would liken that to the location in real estate. Like there's the quality of the house and there's the location of the house. So those two things are paramount in determining what value is. The third thing is the quality of the teammates you have around you. If you have multiple guys that are elite MVP type players, then it's hard to get wanted them to win only twice in the last 30 years have two players on the same team. Has a player won where another player on his team also finished in the top five? That was Scottie Pippen in 96, and it was Dr. J in when Moses Malone won in his first year with the Sixers. So those are three things. And then the other thing is narrative, which is really a nebulous. But like Derrick Rose, narrative really helped him a lot. I think narrative's helping Westbrook a lot this year, you know, because he's getting this you know, triple-double thing. But those four things all go into play. And if you look at history, almost all four of those things you can see as a common thread in all the MVP winners. And so I, you know, I've kind of looked at this historically, and the, you know, like people say, is the best player the best player on the best team? And I don't think either one of those is accurate. I think the best way to describe it is to say it's the elite player who has done the most to make his team an elite team. So sorry if I'm talking too much here.
No, that's
but, I dig it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I think,
So like with, you know, right now the thing is between Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And to me, one of those teams is an elite team. One of those teams is not. Both are elite players. But right now, Russell Westbrook is a house in Elgin, Texas. James Harden is a house in Georgetown.
So
that player has more value.
I think I understand your point, and I think it's also a different argument than I think Gary and I, when I was looking at it, thought that you were making. And that's definitely how it's been in the past. And I think Gary and I have talked about this before, that we don't think it necessarily should be. I mean, do you think it's right when you're evaluating one player to say that this guy is more valuable for all of this stuff that's like outside of his control, and that he isn't actually bringing to the table? It's all these other people on his team.
This is what I think is wonderful about the whole conversation, is it's like, what determines value? You know, it's not what I think or what you think. It's kind of what the universe thinks. Like, everybody has their opinion, and some people are like, oh, we need to define it and we need to say what it is. But I think that's what makes this magnificent, and that's why you can get some fluctuation in the voting. That's why Derrick Rose can beat out LeBron James, even though nobody on the planet thought Derrick Rose was a better player than LeBron James. The value is like what the market says it is. You know what I'm saying? And what the market in MVP voting is the voters. So everybody has their own definition of value. Like, what do you value? And then it's that compilation of feelings about what value means and opinions of what value means that actually determines the value.
Yeah.
So you can, like, gauge the market, but you can't tell the market what to think.
That makes sense, too. I was telling these guys right before we got you on that I was – so as we were talking about on Twitter, you and I had not said any names. And from the initial mm-hmm. exchange we had, I thought you were more into – I thought you were a Leonard for MVP guy based on our exchange with no names in it because of at least when we were talking, highlighting the team success aspect of it. And so that's mm-hmm. what I thought. And then when I followed you more and found out you were more into the – more on the Harden side or completely on the Harden side, I was kind of bummed because I actually like – totally see the Harden argument and, you know, thought it would be, I'd have more disagreements with you that aren't really there. So that was kind of a bummer. I think I would give it to Westbrook, but like with no disagreement for it going to Harden. I think the argument for the two of them is really similar on a lot of fronts. They both meet the, you know, ridiculous stats, ridiculous numbers in, you know, all sorts of categories. They both, what you were talking about, improving the team, you know, the quality of the players around them, they both are playing on teams that you would assume would do much less without them. And, you know, I think I think the burden of both of them is so extreme that it's really hard for me to choose. I personally like Westbrook better for it, but see nothing wrong with Harden getting it. Where would you put Wall, since this is the Zard cast? If you're doing MVP rankings, who do you have ahead of Wall?
Well, I have the four, and that's it.
Nice.
I think I've been doing a MVP ladder for D-ball breakdown all season, and I think in the last one I had John Wall. That could, you know, Isaiah Thomas is kind of hard because he's so good offensively and he does so much offensively, but the second best guy on the court is whoever he's guarding. So that drops Thomas for me. I like Wall because he scores, he passes, and he plays defense. I'd say he maybe just shy of Chris Paul and of all the MVP, you know, all the MVP caliber point guards that have been like healthy for most of the season. He's the best defender. Harden gets, you know, kind of a knock for not being a very good defensive player, but he's actually not as bad as his reputation suggests, but Wall is actually a good defender. I think he might be the second best defensive point guard in the league right now, right behind Chris Paul. So
we definitely like to hear you putting Wall at five there.
And even if you didn't, like, well, we're not going to know till we're done talking to you, at least. So,
so do you cover, you're based in Texas. Do you cover the Rockets primarily, or are you all over the map?
I cover right now I'm covering the Bulls, the Rockets, the Knicks, and I just got the Warriors for Bleacher Report, and I cover the whole NBA for FanRag.
So basically two carnivals and two beachfront houses is what you're looking at.
What's that?
You're covering two carnivals and two beachfront houses. It's quite the contrast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm pretty much just all over the place.
Which one is more fun for you to write about? I mean, I guess now that the season is coming to a close, it would be the better teams. But over the course of the season, when like the Bulls are like imploding, is that fun to write about, or is it just kind of like?
Oh goodness. It's like every time I watch the Bulls, I think my TV threw up on itself. I really don't. I have to endure that. That's the first time since I started writing about basketball for a living that I've actually not enjoyed what I do for a living from time to time.
Well, okay. we appreciate you naming our episode right there. That was great. What about, all right, so you have right now a captive Wizard fan audience of roughly 30 million listeners. Any takes on those teams that you think, you know, from a might not reach Washington fans, they don't quite get out there nationally? Any inside, not necessarily inside, but just some thoughts you have on any of those teams that you'd like to share?
Can I say this, though? I've got something about Washington.
Yeah,
I would
please.
Say... here's a question I have for you, because this is something I've been thinking about. Who does Washington want to play in the first round or in the second round, assuming they get there? Do they want Cleveland to have the one seed or the second seed? Two seed.
Well, it depends on where we're going to be.
I think the answer to your question is anyone but the Cavaliers.
I don't know. I feel like people are kind of coming in, like, especially after Saturday, like, okay, like their defense sucks and, you know, maybe we could make something happen. I don't know.
The idea that it might be better to catch them earlier.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah, see, this is what that's what I'm wondering is, if you're a fan that has, like, because I think there's two teams, maybe three, that could realistically, you know, like, I wouldn't say be the favorite to beat Cleveland, but actually have, you know, I wouldn't, like, a better than a snowball's chance in hell, like a snowball's chance in Texas. of beating Washington or Cleveland in a 7-game series. Boston, Washington, and maybe Toronto, depending on how much that you know, they've improved defensively and whether that holds up or not. But the Cavaliers have been a disaster defensively since the All-Star break. They're 29th in the league. But, you know, sooner or later you figure they're just going to LeBron up and they're going to dig in and they're going to get better. But the longer they're in the playoffs, the better chance that, you know, that defense is working out. So, you know, if your goal is the championship, would you rather face Cleveland in the second round or in the conference finals? Like, that's the other way of looking at it.
Right.
Like, not just how far you're going to get, but when do you want to face Cleveland, not whether you want to face Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think it'll take much more than that first round for them to get things tightened up, especially if whoever they play in the first round gives them any sort of feistiness or scare at all. Like, say, who?
Good
so
point.
Right now, I don't know who. I think they're lined up with the Bucks now, the Cavs.
I'll pull it up.
And I think if they were forced, because the Bucks are going to give them hell, so if they were forced to play them in a series, I think they would find that next gear in time for the second round, no matter who they're playing. But, yeah, it might be better to play them early. I don't know. That could definitely be a sneaky advantage to get them while they're still stumbling.
I think the two, just from a Wizards perspective, I think the Wizards have a really especially healthy fear of LeBron. I mean, he knocked us out 3 years in a row back his first time around in Cleveland. And then the other thing is I might be willing to trade a smaller chance at beating the Cavs for getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that would be a big step,
that's
even in itself. You know, even if you can't beat the Cavs, just going to the Eastern Conference Finals is more of a win for the season than getting bounced in the second round again.
100%. I think that's the answer there.
But would you rather get to the second round, you know, like say you walk over, you know, like you're playing, you're three seed right now. So you actually, I think Bucks are in six, but the Hawks are going to be there. The way the Hawks have been playing, you're going to smoke the Hawks in the first round. Let's say you beat them in five games. All right, and then let's say that then you play the 3-2 seed. Let's say Boston gets to the second seed, and you beat Boston in six games, and you get to the finals, and you're swept by Cleveland. Would you rather do that, or like get to the second round, and you take Cleveland to seven games, and you have a heartbreaking loss? Like, which way do you feel better?
Well,
giving Cleveland a real challenge and losing, or getting to the finals and getting your butt's kicked.
I think you, Wizards Twitter, just Wizards media in general, if you saw how excited everybody was that we just won our first division title in in 40 years, I think that might show that people would rather just get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Just show some more like tangible progress, I think.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, that getting out of the second round would be huge. And just like, more as like a regional thing, like there's this dumb cursey type thing where all of DC sports, they haven't been to like a conference final in like 20 plus years. So that would kind of break that monkey. And I think people around here would be more excited to make that and get swept by LeBron.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. Was that like, what was, that's like going way back, right? The last time the Wizards were in a conference finals.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was the, I guess the,
was that like Gus Johnson era?
Yeah. I mean, like the, I guess the 80 season, the 79-80 season would be the last time they got to the NBA finals that year. And then after that, it was downhill from there. And I think just in general, like DC teams, the Caps. The Caps made it to a Stanley Cup back in like 99. So it's been a while.
So it's like, yeah, like the whole DC, like the Redskins. Like when I was growing up, the Redskins were still good.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the Super Bowl.
Not...
But yeah, I guess, you know, when I was a senior in high school, you'll like this story. I had a, guess what? I lived in Alexandria.
Oh,
guess
nice.
What poster I had on my wall? This was in 84. I had that. You know, the Minute Bowl, Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one with all where they're holding basketballs. Is that the one you're
talking about? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was my poster. I love those guys.
That's pretty funny.
Anyway. I was a little bit of a Wizards fan.
Hey, I don't really blame you for not being one.
You were a
what's that?
You were a Muggsy Bogues level fan, not a Manute Bol level fan.
Everybody looked up to Manute. Like literally everybody looked up.
All right, Kelly, you got anything else you want to get off your chest before we let you go here? It's been great talking to you.
No, I'm good. But hey, best of luck. I think I'll probably be kind of semi-rooting for the Wizards because my Bulls, if they make the playoffs at all, they're not going to be around long. So you know what? I did want to mention this about the whole Bulls Cleveland or the Wizards versus Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think they have a real shot is if I was the Wizards, I would be attacking Kyrie Irving with John Wall all day and all night. And Gortat's a pretty solid pick and roll guy, and they suck at guarding the pick and roll. So yeah. I'd just be like hammering them with Gortat because they can't defend the rim for anything. So I'd be attacking them with the Wall Gortat pick and roll night and day. They can't defend that.
No, and then they'll try to switch Kyrie onto Beal, and that doesn't work very well for him either.
Yeah. So I mean, that's why I think they've got a shot at winning. But
let's hope so.
I don't watch that much Wizards, but I do think they have a shot at winning.
Well, these are
best of luck to you guys.
Exciting times in DC. His name, Kelly Scaletta, at Kelly Scaletta on Twitter, Bleacher Report, FanRag Sports. That's where you can find him. Kelly, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
There he goes.
It's crazy he rode a horse just to be on our podcast.
All the way from Texas, too. But he insisted upon standing in the hallway with his cell phone, so that was kind of weird. But nevertheless, good guy. Glad to have Kelly on. Let's get into Wiz Cavaliers a little bit more. Good jumping off point.
Talk about a different Kelly.
Yes. Kelly Oubre.
Oh, I thought it was Kelly Slater time.
One day, Gary, one day.
We still don't have a drop for Oubre, do we?
No. Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys.
It's not your fault. It's our...
I mean...
It's everybody's fault.
It's kind of my fault.
It's the three of us. It's the listeners for not coming up with a good one.
I guess, yeah, that's the thing. We don't really have a good... Or have we... We've... The only one that we've really decided on that I haven't put in there is the Sheldon Mack drop.
Which one is that?
South Park.
Yeah. Shelly!
He never really plays, so we haven't needed it.
So we need to come up with a Kelly Oubre one. And we've had a tough time for Otto, too. Yeah. Which is why he's not in there. But Kelly Oubre scores 16 points, 10 big ones in the fourth quarter, and dude has been a beast defensively. I mean, he's getting a lot of run, super active. And he's got some scoring punch to go along with it. He's the guy coming off the bench that we hoped he would be. It's great.
It has been great. And, you know, everybody's been like, this is how Oubre needs to play in the playoffs. At this point, I feel like there are now 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 5 guys that have earned, and everyone's saying this is the kind of bench play we need in the playoffs. You think they're really going to play 10 guys? So the starters, Jason Smith, Mahinmi, Oubre, Bogdanovich, Jennings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to play all 10 of them.
I think they'll all get run. If anyone was to fall out of that, it feels like it would still be Oubre to me.
You think Oubre would not play as much?
Yeah.
See, I feel like, I mean, just by default, I would say Jennings... Probably.
I think Jennings is going to play no matter what.
I guess
even if he's
got to spell John.
And same thing with Mahinmi, I think.
Yeah, I think he's like locked in.
So that's 7.
So it only leaves
Smith, Bogdanovich, and Oubre.
And Booyah's definitely going to play.
I feel like Oubre might be creeping up on him.
On Bogdanovich?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's going to... I mean, Scott Brooks is still going to go like 9 deep. Like, I just feel like there's...
There's no way he can't the way.
That's what I mean. And sort of my point is that before we didn't have one capable bench player. And now we're like, are we going to have enough minutes to get all these guys on the floor in the playoffs? Which is,
it's a good problem.
Exactly.
For sure. Oh my God. Those December pods when we were like, do the Wizards have seven good basketball players?
Yeah.
Like, maybe, maybe not.
Right.
Well, three of the names that make that 10 weren't here, so that still seems fairly accurate.
But yeah, it's because I remember a few weeks ago, Jason Smith wasn't playing, and everyone was like, this obviously isn't working. You got to play Jason Smith. So
yeah.
What, you don't play him in the playoffs? I think you have to.
Yeah. His runs will probably be shorter, but that'll just be a result of the starters getting more minutes.
Right.
And I mean, hey, that's a nice little thing to have in your back pocket. You know, you need, you know, a power forward who can make some shots. You know, you can take advantage of some matchups. Like that's pretty big. Something a lot of teams don't have. I guess playoff teams do, but
I think Booyah will still get more run than Oubre just because it's more. Or more scoring that's lacking with the second unit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, even if Oubre's probably playing better than him, he's bringing more defense and just kind of like general intensity, whereas Bogdanović is going to bring some actual points to the table more often.
Agreed. Well, the bench helps take care of business, as do the starters. John has a great game. I don't know why I didn't pull up his total here. He started at 8 for 8.
37.
There you go. Beal had 27. And they were pretty much like in control throughout the entire thing. I mean, anytime Cleveland would kind of get back into it, the Wiz were there to push him out of the way, put him back in their place.
Yeah, I didn't think Cleveland like played really badly or anything. They looked slow and kind of lost defensively, but so they've been all year. It wasn't like a bad game for them.
So I was at the Caps game that night.
Caps.
Tracking Wiz on my phone most of the way and then saw the ending. But I got a text. I don't remember which one of you guys said it, but text pops up. Said something like, oh boy, he's hot or something like that. And it was at like 7:38. So like I knew the game had just started. And I was at the Caps game with Ty Ty Baby. And she looks at me and she goes, what's that? And I was like, oh, I think John Wall must have started off really well. And then I open up the NBA app, and sure enough, he's got, you know, 8 points in 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, he came down and hit 2 threes, maybe back-to-back. And then, yeah, he was sticking jumpers, just getting to the rim at will.
I had the pleasure of watching somebody put out a highlight tape of all Wall's points and assists. Minus free throws because they're boring. And it was like a close to 4 minute video. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11 assists to go along with those 37 points.
And really the whole team, I think they shot like 80% in the first quarter.
Yeah, they scored 40 points in the first, 71 overall in the first half. That's pretty impressive. And I feel like that's kind of been, I mean, obviously we've seen the Wizards scrape out of a bunch of holes this season, but like, it seems dumb and obvious, but like when they score a lot, like in the first quarter, the first two, especially the first half, I mean, they normally win those games. Is that too obvious of a dumb thing to say? Because I feel like even if they can just get a lead, like from the outset, they're not normally going to let that lead crumble. Not entirely, always, not the rule, but
right.
I feel like we've seen it a lot, especially in the second half.
I think that's probably right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and I think they've done it, had, you know, 37, 38 point first quarters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And those leads will tend to shrink, but they don't totally give them away.
I bet they win. We can go back and do it at a different time, but I bet they win 80 to 85% of those games when they score, you know, like 40 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, because if they're not scoring early, you know, you're
Mm-hmm. Well, good times, everyone. It's got everyone all fired up around DC, being like, hey, you know, maybe they can get frisky with the Cavs in the playoffs. You know, they prove that they can beat them on the road. You know, I don't know how much water that holds, and I'm still, I think the big like talking point around the Cavs is like, will they turn it on come playoff time with the defense? And I would bet they do, but I mean, I don't know. I saw Kyrie today taking some heat and putting the blame on himself.
They just have a lot of bad defensive players now. I don't know if I think Shumpert might still be hurt. J.R. Smith, is he hurt or was he?
He's like working his way back.
Yeah. But Deron Williams isn't going to help you be like a better defensive team. So
Kyle Korver is not.
Korver, yeah. I don't know. They're just old and
they had no shooters and now they have no defense. We shall see how it goes for them. Let's keep backpedaling here to last week here. This one, Wiz beat the Nets pretty convincingly. They beat them. They sweep them this season 4-0. But they do clinch a playoff spot. Just kind of one of those fun, comfortable wins.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Brandon Jennings didn't throw a standard pass the entire game. Everything was no look or like some wild scoop. He had that one assist through the legs between two defenders on the break. He was really fun to watch that night. And it was nice to just see him doing that because it meant Wall was getting most of a game off.
Yeah, this was one of, I swear, there's only been three or four games all year where you're like, okay, they're up 20 in the first half. Starters can finally get some rest. And then it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to come in at all. It was fun to watch the bench play. Brandon Jennings is definitely growing on me a lot. I didn't think I would like him very much when he came over, but I'm a big fan.
Something about those backup point guards playing against the Nets. I guess the worst team in basketball will do that for you. I don't think Beal and John, they both played under 25 minutes. John under 24, Brad under 25. All the starters, I mean, Otto 20, Markieff 20, Martian 18. That's good times, everyone. Especially on the heels of the Wizards need more rest debate that embroiled everyone over the past, after their little skid there.
Well, I think there's maybe something to that. If you look at the plus minus from this game, every starter was a minus. And then if you look at the bench, Bogdanovich plus 35, Mahimi plus 26, Oubre plus 27, Brandon Jennings plus 28, Jason Smith plus 20. And then they came out the next game and beat the Cavs. So maybe they did need some rest and they were tired.
That's not a crazy thing to suggest, everyone. Why don't we cool it? We'll get to that in a minute. Last one here, this Hawks game, boring and ugly, and the Wiz needed the whole game to take control of it. I think in the last like 7-8 minutes or so is when they were able to pull away, but
I was at this game.
How was it in the phone booth?
Crowd ended up being pretty good for a Wednesday night Atlanta Hawks game. It was really, really ugly basketball almost the whole time. But then they got it together.
Another nice Kelly Oubre game.
It was. It was a really good Beal game, although I feel like maybe he started off really well and then kind of cooled off.
Well, those last 7 or 8 minutes when they, you know, it had been just horribly ugly like the whole time. And when they finished it off, right, it was all Wall and Beal.
Yeah.
It was that, which That's was true. Really fun. Not to watch after like a horrendous game from basically everyone involved until then.
Yeah, I remember now. They just started flying around, throwing oops and stealing the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually I think Beal said it after the game that they had kind of gotten some of their momentum back and felt like they were back where they were when they were playing really well and killing everybody. And that was really an important game after that Celtics loss. So,
well, they get their mojo back, 4 wins since we last did the pod, and some tough ones coming up. We're going to talk about the Clippers game at the end of the show here, but between now and our next recording, we got at the Clippers, at the Jazz on Friday, at the Warriors on Sunday, and you got Tuesday against the Hornets. So, I mean, the
three gigantically difficult road tests coming up here. If they can pluck off one of those, I think that'd be fine for me. Two would be outstanding, but who knows how it'll go.
Yeah. It's hard to ever like be fine with one if it's right. That means there's two losses. But I know what you mean. Like if
these are tough Western Conference teams in the playoffs on the road. I mean, the Warriors are buzzsaw in Oakland.
Yeah, they've won like eight in a row now after their little slide.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked earlier today at the I wrote it down. I meant to bring it with me, but I didn't. But I had just the Wizards, Cavs, and Celtics, all their remaining schedules pulled up and was looking at them together. And the Cavs and Celtics schedules are just so much easier than the Wizards for these last eight games that if you did want to pass either of those teams, like one win out of these next three might put an end to that hope right there.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, it is going to be tough. I think we have a coin flip tonight against the Clippers. The last time we played the Jazz, I don't know if you guys watched that game, but I don't think the Wizards have any answer for the Jazz.
Yeah, they got smoked.
At
home, too.
Yeah, that was one of the most frustrating games to watch. It was just like, this team is clearly better. And then the Warriors, who are just killing everybody.
And then after that, I mean, even on the other side of this big road trip, the Wiz got to play the Heat twice. And a Pistons team that is going to be trying to crack the playoffs as well. You compare that, flip it over to Boston. I'll just rattle them off here. Bucks, Magic, Knicks, Cavs at home. Hawks, Hornets, Nets, Bucks. And then Cleveland looking similar. Chicago, Philly, Indiana, Orlando, Boston, Hawks, Heat, Raptors. So slightly more difficult for Cleveland, but yeah, not... I mean, this three-game chunk here that we're staring at is, you know, is pretty significant in terms of differentiating these schedules.
Yeah. I think the Pistons might be – there's a decent shot they'll be eliminated by that game with us.
Ooh, that would be really nice.
Because they're now in 10th, I think.
Do you think
yes, you're right.
There is any – so you talked about what we want to happen as far as facing the Cavs sooner or later. Do you think if it becomes clear that the Cavs are going to get the 2 seed, that there's any chance we – half rest, half tank down to make sure we get the 4.
I don't think they would consider it.
I would like them to consider it, but there's no way. Especially if it meant, you know, kind of giving up on getting to 50 games.
True.
I think that might be more of the goal at this point.
I think that would be dumb. I hope they consider that. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. If,
you know, your goal coming into the season, those were the two goals, I think. 50 games and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And obviously one of them is more important than the other one. Right?
Yeah, for sure. And, we expressed this with Kelly on, but, I mean, I think getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, regardless of whether they get slapped or not by the Cavs,
right.
Like that's it right there. That's what you're looking for.
I think this is the most collectively bearded the three of us have ever been.
Looks pretty good all around.
Nice.
Schwenk, you've had some pretty nice large ones on your own before.
Thank you.
But I think as a trio, this could be our most follicular we've ever been.
Oh, good word. Yeah, Dave, you're really grown in there. Sometimes you go like straight baby face on us. Gary, you always have some sort of flavor on there. Mm-hmm. I feel like so. I feel like I don't even really notice with you. Probably the same thing with me. Like there's always something going on, but Dave, looking strong. Especially like the underbeard, that's probably like your
it's lush.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. That means a lot. I'm really going for it this time. So speaking of beards, the other day, I was trimming it. Using some scissors, I dropped them, went to catch them, almost sliced my finger clean off.
Oh my god.
You guys can't see it, but I'm wearing a Band-Aid on my finger. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital to get stitches.
Oh no.
But yikes. I'm okay now. Just holding the mic with my left hand.
I was going to say, is that normally your mic hand?
Nope. Feels pretty off.
Yeah. Schwenk, are you right or left-handed?
I am right-handed.
And do you always are you always a lefty micer like you are tonight?
Yeah, I think so.
Because of the right hand being on the computer primarily?
Yeah, right hand on the computer.
And the touch knobs.
The knobs, writing notes down. You know how it goes.
Makes sense.
All right, let's real quick here. Talk about our friends at SteinerSports.com. They are the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. You go to SteinerSports.com and use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout. You'll get 20% off your purchases. We tried and kind of failed. We found some John Wall stuff last week. Gary, I figured I'd go with your wheelhouse. Punched up Allen Iverson. The great.
You punched Allen Iverson?
Punched him up.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if say you're a 76ers fan, like Gary, you're redecorating, you're doing up your home office, your hangout area, you need some memorabilia, some nice classy things, you know. You want to look classy, not tacky. You would go to SteinerSports.com. There's a bunch of nice autographed pictures and basketballs, jerseys. There are even
some questions,
some signed questions. They go for a pretty penny, but you know, if you're a big AI fan, go for it. Also, ooh, this is a good one here. Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony, 8x10, so a little small on the small side, but signed.
I think
by,
that's 8x10 feet. So it's actually pretty big.
8x10 feet, you think, huh?
It's a fat head. It's one of those wall. Giant wall posters. How much did that go for? Oh, $4,000, huh?
Well, this one, without the frame, $279 if you're into Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony, Denver Nuggets days. I'm sure there are people who are into those days, but...
It wouldn't be.
I remember when that trade went down, that was like the first... I feel like, of you know, our generation, like the first big... aligning of two superstar, I guess Shaq and Kobe, but I guess in the time we were in high school, that was like a huge deal. You forget about that. Forget about it.
I don't really remember that much of what happened there.
It was the end of a very tumultuous situation with Iverson and the Sixers. A lot of like.
When did Chauncey Billups get there?
To the Nuggets?
Yeah.
I think after. Well, anyway, should you be in the market for something like that, SteinerSports.com, punch in Almighty at checkout. You get 20% off. Good people over there, SteinerSports.com. Let's check out the rest of the Eastern Conference standings. So the Celtics, the first time all year that we've done this, in the number one slot. Cavs are half game back in the two. Wiz in the three slot, game and a half back of Cleveland and two of Boston. Raptors at the four. Bucks at the five. Hawks in the six. Pacers in the seven. And the Heat in the eight slot. Which, I mean, for whoever gets that number one seed, that'll be interesting. See how that plays out. But as it is today, the Wiz would get the Hawks in the first round, which I think is probably, we talked about matchups last week a little bit. I think I like that Hawks match. The Hawks or the Pacers would be my two ideal opponents, I'd say at this point.
Aren't we matched up with the Bucks right now? Aren't they the six?
No, they are in the five slot.
Oh. I guess they're tied.
Yeah, they are tied. I guess, however, whatever the tiebreaker is,
I see.
Has the Hawks behind the Bucks.
I see.
You also, Gary, like you said, the Pistons are two games out of that eight slot. The Bulls won. So you got a couple teams scrapping there. Hopefully the Pistons will be eliminated by the time we get to them.
Yeah. The only thing is I don't know who are they shutting anyone down if they're eliminated. Maybe Jackson. He's talked about he's dealing with some injuries.
I think they benched him or sat him down last game that they played. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got some playoff spots. I mean, 1 through 4 is locked up. Not that that was any sort of surprise, but you got the little stars next to the names. Haven't seen that yet. We're creeping, guys. We're getting there. 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, we'll be in playoff mode.
That is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, this last month has been a slog, especially with the swoon the Wizards went on, and you know, so ready to be there. All right, guys. Shall we do This Week in John Wall?
Sure.
We're running through it here. All right. I like it.
Me, ha, wash it, John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
So, John, huge night against the Cavs, closed one out against the Lakers. He was instrumental between him and Brad in closing the game out against the Hawks. He's had a pretty good week. Good week for John Wall. And he got to go to L.A. He loves L.A. I think he lives there during the offseason.
I would.
So,
it's too bad that these last four games got split up from when they do Eastern Conference Player of the Week, because in the last four games he averaged 29 points and 11 assists and 3 steals a game.
Those are good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
4 wins, that'll definitely win you Conference Player of the Week. Yeah. But
guess it just means they got to win the next two.
For sure,
that would definitely
get him for it next week.
I mean, he's gonna make an All NBA team. Do you think there's any way he can? I guess he's not gonna be able to creep onto the first team.
No. I really don't think it's a lock he makes an All NBA team at all.
Talked this out before too, because you got 4 spots locked up between
Steph, Russ,
Paul, and
Harden.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could go a lot of different ways. I think it could be Wall and Curry on the second team. I think that's possible. I also think that he could not make it at all. They put Curry and Chris Paul, and then DeRozan and Isaiah Thomas, and Kyrie Irving's also in the mix, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Got to keep DeRozan, playing well.
I think DeRozan will make. I think he'll get one of the.
Yeah.
But do they come out with those before the playoffs or after? I can never remember. I feel like before. The playoffs are so long.
I'm not sure. But, it's really stupid because John Wall's next contract, or whether he can sign that extension, is tied to whether he makes an All-NBA team or not. So if he doesn't do it, somebody decides that Kyrie Irving deserves it more, then we can't add 2-3 more years onto his contract, I think. Which doesn't seem very fair.
Nope.
Nope.
All about the universe that he's living in. All right, gentlemen. Shall we shut it down with Pop Culture Detour?
Well, first, let's do our new segment. Whoa, did you see that game last night? Where we break down a game we have not yet seen.
Forgot about this one in the notes.
So, whoa, did you see that game last night against the Clippers, you guys?
Crazy.
Can you believe that stuff that went down?
Which part was the craziest to you?
Probably that Jason Smith dunk was the wildest to me.
Which one? In the third quarter, there were like 3 of them.
The one where Griffin's wrist broke on the rim because he dunked it on him.
That's what I thought you were talking about, but I wasn't sure if it was the one where Doc Rivers just started crying and begged to be ejected because he was so upset.
I guess those both were pretty momentous occasions. What was your favorite part?
I really liked when Kelly Oubre, he stole the ball from Chris Paul while doing a cartwheel. That is something we haven't seen from his defensive repertoire. So, you know, we've heard it rumored at practice, but to bust it out on CP3, that was fun.
He's groundbreaking, introducing capoeira techniques into basketball. And, you know, we should have expected it from him. That's just the kind of competitor he is.
I'm waiting to see his barrel roll next. I'm wondering how that'll work out. Said he's, you know, he does it on the ground pretty easily, pretty smooth, but if he can do the whole, you know, roll in the air, like, that would be super impressive.
Yeah, and just obviously all those things were cool. But really what was nice to see was just that 71-point performance from Beal. He saw Booker get 70 and, you know, kind of in a shameless way. And Beal's all came within the flow of the offense. And, you know, it was a high-scoring game, but it was close the whole way.
And he did it in the first half.
Well, yeah, because in the second half, it just got away from the Clippers. The Wizards were so far up, they were able to rest their starters.
Always a good night to win back-to-back in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go out again tonight. Seems like they've been soaking it up out there.
Well, no, we already saw them out tonight. We saw them. We saw the pictures of them after the game.
I'm sorry, Gary. It's it's like 2 in the morning. I'm delusional at this point. Like,
yeah, all those pictures. I think who there was one of John Wall smooching somebody.
It was that guy that was giving him some guff a couple nights ago.
They were smooching.
They kissed and made up.
Yeah, you didn't see the video. The guy comes out and he's like, "I'm so sorry. Here, take the keys to my car. It's the only thing I own." And then they made up and were later seen canoodling.
Wow, what a wild night.
Didn't see that coming. So, glad we all saw that game.
Yeah.
Whoa! actually, you know, before we get to Pop Culture Detour, one thing we touched on it briefly, but last week's the Wizards Need to Rest panic that consumed Wizards Twitter and Wizards fans and all that. Friend of the pod, Albert Bernico, he expounded upon that on Deadspin and was basically like, guys, they need to rest. Anything John Wall and Scott Brooks says is like dumb, smarmy bullshit. Like, John Wall knows that he's tired. Like, he's just being a tough guy, which is fine. But then, like, Wizards Twitter and, like, the reporters on the other sites, like, I don't want to like blast them too hard, but like their feathers got all ruffled about it. They're like, would he ever say that to John Wall in the locker room?
Right.
No, he hasn't, because he doesn't cover games.
Well, I think a lot of people, a lot of reporters just do not like Deadspin, because that's their whole bit. That's like their slogan is sports without access or whatever. And that's access their whole thing is that they're never going to talk to John Wall and they don't want to, so that they can. I mean, obviously, he's trying to be provocative. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always just surprised at how much people hate Deadspin.
Yeah. Also, if you read that whole article, he wasn't like saying it was like a bad thing necessarily from Wall. He was saying like he was calling it like typical like athlete speech.
Right.
But like when he was talking about Ted Leonsis's takes being bullshit. He was talking about that being lousy because he was like, my players will play if you put them on TV and stuff like that.
Right.
But what he was saying about Wall, I think he did use the word smug, but like he didn't say
it was smarmy.
Smarmy,
which it is. I mean, it's definitely like less than genuine to be like. And John Wall seems as close to this actual kind of guy that I'm aware of in the league. I think that's why everybody likes him so much. But no one is like, I do all this for the fans, and I'm not going to rest, even if it's my best interest for the fans. Like, other players have come out and said that I need to rest, and that's like a reasonable thing. I think that's a much more real statement than. So I thought it did read as kind of smarmy. I don't think that's a knock on Wall, really.
Right. And to be like, would anyone say that to his face? Like, people go in there and like ask questions and like to fill out their column and like rebut players in their columns all the time.
Right.
John Wall, like, you know, so say someone from one of these sites did that and they just asked him questions like, oh, John, aren't you actually tired? He gives this answer. They write a column about how he's actually tired.
Right.
John Wall might not ever read that column or know like what this person has to say about his rest. So like, why is it a thing like that? He's not saying it to his face. Like,
and honestly, I think the big difference there and what bothers a lot of people is that they wrote the word bullshit in their article. And, like, called it that. People don't like it. It's like you should have decorum as a sports writer.
I don't get it. Just thought it was lousy for everyone to get all riled up about it.
But I'm sure,
good clicks are clicks,
yeah,
for
sure,
Deadspin.
I'm sure he's not worried about it.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it. He had to defend his Wizards fandom, I saw on Twitter, which, you know.
That's a lousy.
Right, right. Like, oh man, you've never been to a game. Like, yeah, well, you know, it's not hard to not go to basketball games. Like,
and I've been to a lot of them. You don't glean any kind of information about whether John Wall is being genuine in interviews or not. You can't even hear him. He's all the way down
there. Right. So anyway, wanted to get that out of the way. Let's do Pop Culture Detour and close it down.
Pop Culture Detour.
Skip for a
second. Yeah. Weird.
Must be the wires. For this one, you guys.
Oh, you got something big. I can see it on your face.
Yes, yes. I've listened to the first two episodes of S-Town, the serial spin-off pod. Very, very good so far. I'm all in. It's 6 or 7 episodes. They dropped at the same time.
What does the S stand for?
Shit.
Oh, I won't be listening.
Shit Town is what it's short for, but one of the key players says it a whole bunch in the first two episodes.
What is it? I don't understand what it is.
So it's just like, it's true crime, basically, sort of. And this guy like calls, you know, one of the producers at This American Life and is like, hey, I think this guy with like a rich family in Alabama, he basically got off for killing someone, like claiming self-defense. And then they like swept the whole thing under the rug. So they, you know, go down there and try and crack the case open. And it goes a different direction than you think it would. And I was surprised and really enjoyed. I'm trying to listen. So I'll probably get through them all within the next week or so.
Have you ever seen that movie Bernie? Isn't that what that is kind of about?
The Jack Black one that's been on Netflix forever that I've never chosen?
Yeah, I think the premise of it is that he is like this nice man that everybody loves in some like little Texas town, but he's best friends with this old lady that everybody hates, and he kills her. And I think it's about all the people trying to like prevent him from like having to be punished for killing this old lady that everybody hated.
Interesting. Made me more likely to click it next time.
I'll watch anything with Jack Black in it. I mean, I haven't watched that one yet, but anything other than that.
I don't have anything right now. I just have incredible amounts of anticipation for my like three favorite shows all come back in April. Leftovers, Fargo, and Better Call Saul all come back within like a week and a half of each other. It's exciting.
Strong. We'll have a lot to discuss then. I know I watch all three of those. Dave, you're also in on all three of those.
For sure.
Pretty much appointment viewing.
There's so much stuff. I think Veep is coming back.
Yep.
Nice. Does Silicon Valley come back now, or are they paired with Thrones?
It comes back now.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Pretty sure it does, too. I'm fell behind on that. There's this... Well, all right. There's this... plot structure that a ton of shows use, and I've seen it so much now that when a show kind of follows along it bothers me. Where, and so shows that do this have been, and just going on HBO alone, you can go Entourage, Silicon Valley, Ballers, which I only watched a couple of, where it's just hijinks, things are going great. Oh no. Catastrophe strikes.
Yeah.
Couple episodes dealing with that. Hijinks. Oh, things are going great again. Oh no. And it just repeats in this cycle, and it after a while I just get tired with it.
I'm not tired of it within this iteration, but I as soon as you said it has this plot structure, I knew exactly what you were talking about. So I think the cast being hilarious all around keeps it fresh.
Yeah, whenever I watch an episode, I still like them. It's hard for me to keep wanting to I have no I got to see the next episode feeling. But the laugh per episode rate is still really high. The dude, friend of the pod, Mike Corrane, author of the Randy Whitman's Tale, always talks about he would love to somehow create a PER stat for television characters, their on-screen efficiency, and one of his shining examples for if that stat existed is I don't know his name on Silicon Valley, but he was Gabe on The Office, the tall, squirrely one.
Jared? Is mm-hmm. that his name?
Yeah, Jared.
Because he will have like five lines in an episode, and they're all always gold.
Yeah, he'll be doing something weird. Oh, excuse me. That was a weird noise. Actually, we should give some shine here. Gary, you got a new pod.
Oh, yeah.
Coming soon.
There's one out, but it's not searchable. Waiting on a logo, and then we can submit it.
You can only find it on the deep web.
Right yeah, now. Right now it's just on the deep web, but it's called It's Valor Hour. Me, that aforementioned Mike, and then another buddy of ours, John Bain, got a season tickets to the Valor. We don't really know anything about Arena League football, so we're going to do a podcast about our journey through the season, and it's probably going to be heavy on the bits and skits and maybe light on the actual football.
Which you guys are good at.
Or maybe you'll get really into it.
That could happen too.
I think this would be a good tease for it, and only because this is exactly what you talk about to start the first episode. You and I were chit-chatting before we started. I was like, oh, the only thing I know about Arena football is that Bon Jovi owns the Philadelphia Soul.
Yeah, which was also what I said in my intro in the episode. It's the only thing I know about the AFL is that Bon Jovi owns the Soul. And then we discovered that that might not be the case anymore. And didn't really get to the bottom of it.
That sounds like a great hook for episode two. Does Bon Jovi... I feel like you could do a season of Serial about whether Bon Jovi does or doesn't own. What is it, the Philadelphia Soul?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Have to listen to Valor Hour. Anything else, guys? That do it for us? All right. Good sode, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe. Check out our boy... Kelly on the Twitter at Kelly Scaletta. He was very nice to give us some of his time, and I almost botched his last name there, thinking Scarletta. Like
that's the one thing he said not to
do. He inceptioned you by accident.
I know, he definitely did, and I didn't do it. So check him out. Big thanks to him for coming on at Zardcast on Twitter. And I think next week will be the official first Dash week. We thought it would be last week. It's not this week either. So
I was gonna say we didn't do the stop at 1 hour thing.
Yeah, I'll inquire if there is like a weird pause in here, I'll just stick it in later. But yeah. If you're listening to the podcast, of course, it does not affect you one lick. So we'll be back. We'll record next Wednesday, pod out on Thursday. Hope you enjoyed. For my co-hosts, Dave, Gary, I'm CT. That was Zardcast.
Amen. Amen.